Hello, Pastor Brandon here with our readings for Wednesday, February 5th, 2020. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 19, 7 through 14, Genesis 35, 1 through 36, 8, and Matthew 12, 46 through 13, 9. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Genesis 35, 1 through 36, 8. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had, and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakuth. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number, a nation and a community, a community of nations will come from you. The kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Then they moved on from Bethel while they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty, in childbirth. The midwife said to her, "Don't despair, for you have another son," as she breathed her last, for she was dying. She named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Adir. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Jacob had 12 sons. The sons of Leah: Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel: Joseph and Benjamin. The son of Rachel's servant Bilhah: Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Leah's servant Zilpha: Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob, who were born to him in Padan Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac and Mary near Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. This is the account of the family line of Esau, that is, Edom. Esau took his wives from the women of Canaan: Ada, daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Oholibamah, daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite, also Basmath, daughter of Ishmael, and sister of Nebaioth. Ada bore Elphaz to Esau. Basmath bore Reuel, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, Jalma, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau who were born to him in Canaan. Esau took his wives and sons and daughters and all the members of his household, as well as his livestock and all his other animals and all the goods he had acquired in Canaan, and moved to a land some distance from his brother Jacob. Their possessions were too great for them to remain together. The land where they were staying could not support them both because of their livestock. So Esau, that is Edom, settled in the hill country of Seir. Matthew chapter 12, 46, verse 13. While Jesus was still talking to the crowds, his mother and brother stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds were gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is the word of the Lord in our readings for Wednesday, February 5th, 2020. In our Matthew reading today, we have this parable of the sower. And this is one of those things where the reading plans break up some of these passages from the Bible so that it would be a reading plan for a whole year. And it kind of breaks it at a moment where the narrative continues on. And it's important that we always acknowledge the fact of what happened before, what's happening after. And this is one of those cases, especially with what comes after. Tomorrow we're going to read about how the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." These sound like some pretty harsh words of Jesus. And if we haven't forgotten yet, just yesterday we read about how Jesus called a group of individuals brood of vipers. And that was the Pharisees. This is all taking place in the same moment, the same time of teaching. The moment where Jesus really just lays it out on the Pharisees. And when he's talking about those who won't see and perceive, he's talking about them directly. He's talking about them directly that for those who have, talking about his disciples, much more will be given. Because they have understanding, they have clarity, they have Jesus with them, and they're listening to Jesus. They are taking his words captive. They are seeking more understanding and more understanding. But to those who have not, none will be given. Not even what they have will be taken away, Jesus says. And he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking about the Pharisees there. Because they refuse to listen. They refuse to see. And God is right there before them. Jesus is right there before them. They refuse to listen. They refuse to see. But to those who don't refuse, to those who listen, who see, they will understand. They will understand what it is that Jesus is teaching about in these parables. Well, what is the parable Jesus teaches us? Jesus teaches us a pretty interesting parable here, the parable of the sower. And we got to ask ourselves, what is this parable about? And it seems pretty obvious, it does. But let's look at this from the perspective of the farmer. He's throwing the seed. He's tossing it to the side, to the left, to the right, down the plots that are on his farm land. He's tossing it there. He's throwing it to the ground and he's sowing his seed. Knowing good and well, some of those seeds will never sprout up and grow anything. But he throws it nonetheless. He plants the seed nonetheless, knowing that some's falling on the path. I think of any time I reach into a bucket of popcorn and pull out a bunch of popcorn, it never fails. I always drop some, especially my kids. They drop like the whole handful. But the point is, you grab the popcorn nonetheless. The sower sows the seed nonetheless, even though some will fall on the path, even though some will fall on the rocky soil, even though some will never sprout up and grow a single thing. Jesus says the sower still sows the seed, because there's going to be that seed that falls on the good soil, the best soil, the soil the farmer intended the seed to fall on. That seed that will sprout up and grow a crop 100, 60, 30-fold. Now, here's the other thing. The soil doesn't represent individual people. The soil represents when we preach the gospel to a person and the different soils in their lives. Soil doesn't just naturally grow crops in the sense that it's easy. Yeah, crops naturally grow out of the soil, but for farmland, for farming soil, there's so much work and care that needs to be attended to. You need to cultivate the soil. You need to remove the rocks. You need to take the weeds out, take the thorns and thistles out so that you do have good soil. You need to till the soil so it's not rock hard like the path is supposed to be that you walk on. There is a place to plant the seed, and that place has to be prepared. And it takes time, effort. In fact, it is said that it takes someone at least 7 times, typically. This isn't all the time, but typically it takes someone 7 times hearing the gospel before they're ever open to receiving the gospel. What does that mean? When we preach the gospel to them, we may be the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, we may be the seventh. Give to the poor. Will you find your treasure? Those rocks are being removed. The soil is being tilled. The thorns and the weeds and the thickets are being ripped out so that a crop can produce in that person's life. The different types of soil don't represent individual people. The whole farm is a person. And the sower sows the seed, even though he knows that some of it will fall on deaf ears and it won't be listened to, knowing good and well as that soil cultivates, as that soil is cared to and tended to, eventually that soul will come to know, and they too will produce a crop 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The point is they too will produce a crop themselves. This is one way of looking at this. Your efforts in proclaiming the gospel to people may seem like they fall on deaf ears. Understand, every encounter you help people have with Jesus is another encounter that will bring them closer to Jesus. Another encounter that will help them better understand and quite possibly help them see and hear. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.